Vendor Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 290. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's Thanksgiving in the States went really well. Hope everybody was not too far induced in their food coma, but also was able to get away to play some games, because I know a couple, two important ones, I think, just came out about the 22nd?
Yeah, two slightly important games. So we have Super Mario 3D World and Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds.
But I believe one of those does not come out in your neck of the woods until in a couple days, I believe.
That is correct. We don't have 3D World yet, but we do have Link Between World, which I've managed to download on the eShop. So I'll jump about that when we go into that segment. So on tonight's show, we have the similar three-point structure as we usually do. We're going to start with what we've been playing, we're going to then move on to the Nintendo news, and our final feature for tonight is the competition is here. So we're going to be talking about the Xbox One and the PS4 and what it means for the Wii U in the future. So if we jump straight into what we've been playing, as I was saying, I've downloaded Zelda A Link Between Worlds, and I only got this last night, actually. And I've already completed two dungeons, despite it being quite late when I downloaded it and having work today, and this game is absolutely fantastic. I can see where all the rave reviews have been coming from, so I haven't actually put a huge amount of time into the game, but it's already won me over.
For me, I should have picked up, at least because it was a tough choice between picking up 3D World or Zelda for me, but the truth is, I haven't picked up any right now. It's not out of spite right now. I mean, it's mainly because, you know, with the holidays coming up, I'm just saving all this money just to make sure to, you know, provide for family and friends, and at this time, I'm just thinking, like, okay, I gotta choose one, and it's like, it's so hard for me right now. My defense of not picking up Zelda right now is the fact it's like, I'm gonna be mad when I'm finished this. Not because I hate, because people are saying an ending of this is bad, it's the same feeling I got with A Link to the Past whenever I first played. It's like, I did not want it to end, and it's like, I don't want that feeling again, whatever, because with a game like this. But as I say, you said you've already completed two dungeons, and these, like we said, one of the formula that I think Anuma and the rest of the Zelda team were trying to change with the Zelda formula was they wanted to switch up the dungeon order. Now, I assume these can be taken out of order?
Yeah, they can. First dungeon is set, but I believe 2 and 3 you can take in either order, although not 100% certain, but it gives you the illusion at least you've got the option. But I believe where the game opens up is once you've done those initial 3, and following a similar template to A Link to the Past, then you have another 7. Those ones you can take in any order. So yeah, the way the system works, which lets you take the dungeon in a different order, is you have a new character called Rovio. He basically will rent you the usual dungeon items. So things like the bow and arrow or the hammer, things like that, you can just rent from him and then tackle the appropriate dungeon. And so each dungeon now is kind of locked by a specific item obstacle or puzzle. So to actually get in there, you need that.
So, but the usual obstacle, like, you know, like, for instance, whatever in past Zelda is, if you could not, like, traverse to a certain area, it's still, you know, there. I mean, just the fact that, like, you rent these items at the shop, and it's like, oh, I can go do this, but it's a matter of when these items become available, or, I mean, the fact that you go to these dungeons, I mean, you still get an item in these dungeons, per se, correct?
You do, but they're not the ones you would be able to rent. So it's like a different set of items you get through the dungeons.
It's just bows and bombs and arrows and such that you can only rent, correct?
I'm actually in his shop now, so I'll give you the rundown. But we have the fire rod, which at the moment is going to cost me 100 rupees to rent. We also have a boomerang, which is a 50 rupee price to rent. The hammer is also available, but I'm already renting it. A sand rod is also available, and I am also renting that. We have the bow and arrow, which costs 50 rupees to rent. We have bombs. Bombs cost 50 rupees also to rent. We have a new item here, the tornado rod, and I'm also...
How does that one work? Is that essentially kind of like a tornado rod, kind of like the boomerang gale from like Twilight Princess?
No, it's kind of shoots you off kind of straight upwards into the air.
Oh, okay, so you're shot upwards as opposed to just projectiling it like a tornado, like a gust of wind.
Yeah, although I've rented this, I haven't actually been able to use it to solve a puzzle yet, so I'm not sure its other aspects. But yeah, when I use it, I shoot up in the air and I spin down. So there's two more items you can rent. I'll just go for them quickly. There's also the hookshot, currently costs me 50 rupees to rent. And finally, the ice rod, with 100 rupees price tag to rent. And so they're all available, as you know, very early on in the game. So about within about 30 minutes or so, maybe up to an hour, you get to that shop and you can essentially rent any of those items and start using them in the overworld. And so that's, you know, radical change for Zelda. And it's pretty fun as well. And the extra challenge is if you faint, and so with all your hearts deplete, all your rented items go back. And of course, one of the first things I did, because you kind of incur rupees quite quickly in this game, so I wondered, you know, what would happen if I just rented everything from the get-go, and I unfortunately managed to faint in the, I think it was the boss of either the first or the second dungeon, and I saw all these items disappear. But it really does kind of up the ante on these, you know, the boss fights and the normal fights as well, because normally if you were to die in Zelda, it's not a huge issue, you would just reappear.
It just,
you know, somewhere similar.
Yeah, it just basically puts more emphasis on basically surviving and the fact that, like, you know, dying actually has a far greater consequence to everything, like, in a type of Zelda title, because anytime when you die, whatever, you obviously still have your items, but it's a matter of, like, you know, a bit of trial and error. This one, it just, I'm assuming once you just die, whatever, in a dungeon, you are left back in the dungeon, and then you just have to repurchase your items. I mean, don't you think that could get a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Tedious?
Tedious, yes, there we go.
Well, that actually brings me on to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is the new quick travel system.
Ooh.
So, again, this is also something introduced very on early in the game, and you meet this witch on a broomstick, and she takes a shine to you, wants to help you out, for whatever reason. Essentially, you can fast travel to any kind of post that you've walked past in the game. It's really quick to use this, obviously, because the sort of game there is, there's no loading time. You just hit the item, which is always on your touchscreen, tap where you want to go on the map, she picks you up, drops you off to this location. And so if you do, you know, die in a dungeon and lose your items, of course you get kicked out of the dungeon, because the item you've rented is essential to completing it. And so what you can do then is just fast travel back to the shop, which there is a marker just outside the shop. You can purchase your item again, and you can fast travel back to the dungeon. And I assume there will be fast travel marks next to each dungeon as well. And so, yeah, it makes, you know, zipping around the overworld really easy.
One thing I wanted to ask as well on there, I mean, okay, obviously, all these little things that I've kind of worried about, whatever, when purchasing the game, you know, be it like losing items when you're renting them while in dungeons. How's the story going in this one without giving away too much?
I'm pleasantly surprised so far. It's not too intense for the story, but it's nicely presented. It's a different enough take on the series. Obviously, the story does kind of revolve around his new mechanic. So, Link turning into a painting and how he gets that power. And I must admit, that painting mechanics is also fantastic. It's probably the, if not one of the best, but the best Zelda-specific item or power that I can think of. It's just really versatile. And so it's not just in specific walls. Pretty much any wall in the game you can go up to and turn into a painting and start walking around. But he managed to play so many different types of tricks and puzzles on it. And the fact that I'm only two dungeons into the game, I can't wait to see what they have in store for this mechanic later on. But they've already got me travelling on moving platforms, jumping into walls, running rounds three different sides and then back onto a moving platform, and also using it to sneak up behind people and lots of different cool things. And it's just kind of the also the, kind of the graphical effects where you go from the top-down view to the side view of the walking around in the painting. It's really nicely done. And I must say, this game also looks fantastic in a 60 frames a second on the 3DS.
That's what I was wondering if that was gonna be like, if the 33, like, is there any like, dipping that at all during the entire time?
No, I've not noticed anything. That's with the 3D on or off.
This seems like a game just like when I had with Super Mario 3D Land that the rest of my games that I played on my 3DS, I've never really turned on the 3D. But with when I played 3D Land, for instance, that was the one where I was like using the 3D the most. And in this case, I think like more people I talk to with who have a Link Between Worlds is they're playing more of the 3D on. Like, this is one of those. Even though the 3D aspect of the 3DS is not being as advertised what it was originally when it launched, but this one, I mean, it feels like tailor-made for it.
Oh, it definitely does. It's again, it's the, this game's done so many things really well, and 3D is one of the things it's done very well. Basically, whether you're on this the top-down perspective or whether you're in that kind of painting view, it always makes really good use of that depth. And they've done some interesting things with the overworld. Some things are elevated, which where they weren't before, and obviously some things are lower. Also, the dungeons, how they kind of elevate, and the camera's always above you. But now there's it's a seamless transition from one floor to the other, and you can just kind of see him like walk up the slope to the next floor of the dungeon, and the camera just pans up. And on these kind of long towers, you can really appreciate that depth on the with the 3D mode switched on. You can like see all the way down to like the first floor. It's very well done.
So basically, so far, it seems like you're having quite a good time with this one, with this game right now. I mean, it's gives me a little more excited to finally pick this up.
Oh, definitely. And the other thing is, again, because I've only put a couple of hours in, it's definitely the best starting Zelda game in a long time.
It doesn't hold your hand, I assume.
Not in the slightest. It kind of explains that there are a few different systems that can help you out, but it doesn't force you to even try them. It just points you in the direction. If you need some help, you can go over here. And it just says nothing more of it. And that's a, it's a really good way to do it. Because, yeah, the last couple of Zeldas, not only has it had the hand-holdy bits, it really drags on the story to the beginning of the game, even if it's not that great of a story, but it makes you do these kind of tutorial-esque missions. And this one just kind of chucks you straight into the action.
I think that's what they were kind of going for with this one. It, like, I mean, look back to even the Link to a Past, it just, like, threw you out there or whatever. It just, I mean, yeah, basically just threw you out into the open.
Exactly, yeah, Link to the Past was a had a great opening. And so does this. It's a different opening, which is good, but it's, I would say, equally as good and equally as quick into the action. Another point I should make is that if you've got headphones, I would definitely recommend using them for this game. The music is amazing. So some bits are completely new, some bits are obviously riffing from A Link to the Past. It's all amazing, really. I'm really liking this game so far. I didn't, I for whatever reason, I didn't think I'd be that impressed with this game. It might be because A Link to the Past wasn't one of my favourite Zeldas. I mean, I really do like the game, but I think it's there's been a lot of other really good Zeldas. But this game just kind of, one, reminds me how good A Link to the Past was, and two, that they've not only managed to play on people's nostalgia for the previous game, which they definitely do, but they introduce a load of new mechanics. Not only is it the shop, the genuinely great painting mechanic where you can slide across the walls, and just kind of being also just generally progressive, like how you use the circle pad now, so you've got full analog control. Just little bits here and there, it makes, you know, playing Link to the Past, it being brand new. Some of it sounds a bit obvious, but it really is nice to play.
I may just have to finally just give up and just download this right now, even though I've been securing my funds so much, but this is really just, I think it's enough, well, whatever. The reviews were good enough, that I was going to pick this up, but now I think we've kind of settled this now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely won me over, and I'm glad I'm only a fraction away through the game at this point. And knowing that it's had such glowing reviews, I'm really, you know, just looking forward to just enjoying this game. We'll have another update for next week, obviously. And talking about updates, I actually have an update for Wii Party U. So I've talked about this last episode, and I've got some more updates. I've played it some more with the same group of people as last time, but we've managed to play a few different more modes. And one of the good things about Wii Party is that there are so many modes in it. So you've got the three main modes, which is the TV party, the house party, and the gamepad party. But within all three, there's a whole bunch of different things. So Mario Party is kind of represented in the TV party bit, so that's where like the board games are. And before I said I had only played something called the Bulldozer, which is kind of like an old coin machine where you drop coins in and they kind of go down and they push other coins, and when they go down the hole you get points for it. And the other game I played was Gamepad Island, which was a very basic board game. And it is so similar, it's kind of reminiscent of Snakes and Ladders. And I didn't particularly like that, which I reported on the last show. But I've since played two more board games in this section. And the reason why I'm mentioning them is because they are completely different, and I would completely recommend them if you've got the game and you haven't played them yet. One of them was called Teammate Madness, and although it's kind of in this football theme, it's essentially a game of poker, which is quite bizarre. So you all have these five football players, and it's basically the fact that they've got different colours and different numbers on them, depending on what the team they're from. And you have a team in the middle, made up of random people, as it were. And you're essentially making different suits. So you can have like a pair if they've got the two of the same number, or you can have a three of kind, or you can, you know, so on and so forth. And between each bit, you play a mini game, and depending on who wins, they get the first pick. It's quite a simple set of rules, but it works quite well, and it has this nice kind of the metagame aspect to it. So that's a game I'd recommend. The other one, which has turned out to be the best of the bunch so far, in my opinion, is delightfully called Me Fashion Plaza. So this is essentially a board game which takes place on a square board, so you keep going around in a loop. Basically, the mission of the game, or how to win, is to get the most points, and to do that, you get scored when you do a full lap, depending on how good your outfit is that you've curated. And so when you land on different squares, you can get rewarded with different items of clothing, whether they're like hats, shirts, or trousers. And some of them are from Nintendo series, some are just kind of themed in general, like Cowboy or Spaceman. And again, you play mini games on occasion, and you can win extra costumes, or you can steal them from each other. And you can get different types of dice, so you can, you know, try to roll a particularly low number or try and roll further. And again, it's quite a simple game, and it's a longer one than most of them. But that one works a lot better than, say, the Gamepad Island, where you pretty much were just on a straight path and sometimes it would push you back. It uses, you know, a little bit of simple strategy to it. And it is fun to kind of grief your friends if you get a chance to steal an item and they're ready to complete the set. And you can just take it off them even if you don't need it. So that is a pretty cool game. I think that's pretty much going to be my update on Wii Party U.
It seems like it's a mixed bag, it's like this grab bag of like titles when you get into it. I mean, this is obviously just a little thing to actually get that casual crowd into it. But you mentioned something about a game called that's similar to poker on there, and that had all ears on there. Because, I mean, I was always an avid poker, like, you know, Texas Hold'em player for, like, you know, for years until I realized I was losing too much money on it. And but no, I mean, how's that one been going? I mean, I know you kind of didn't.
I mean, we've only had kind of the one game of it. It's a like a 20 to 30 minute game. Yeah, it went down really well. I think everyone involved in it really liked the game. And yeah, I mean, on the TV you're playing the actual mini games themselves, and when it comes to your turn, again on the TV you are selecting which player you want to pick from the center team and swap them with different members of your team. And on that mode, on the gamepad at all times, you have all the different combinations you can get. And so that makes a nice little reference guide you can just pass that round. But you can always see that on the gamepad screen while someone else is doing something else on the TV. So it's cool just to kind of keep track of that. But yeah, that game went down really well. So Wii Party U is a mixed bag, but there are, I would say, in its favour, there are more good stuff than there's the bad stuff. And again, because there is so much stuff, when you do figure out what is good and what is bad, there's a lot of decent stuff to pick from and, you know, rotate round. It's a very good offering, really. I'm thinking of putting together some sort of article about what to play and what to avoid in Wii Party U.
Seems like I could probably maybe check this one out, but, you know, it's, you know, it seems like it's even, like, the Wii-branded, like, casual titles. It's really strayed me away, but, you know, this one guy that actually could just go back to, like, you know, Wii Sports Club for crying out loud.
Yeah, and as silly as it is, what is quite cool about Wii Party U is that your Mii characters kind of go off in lots of different costumes throughout the different games. And especially in that fashion one as well, but in all the different sets of games, your Miis are kind of dressed up in some sort of outfit or another. And I've not seen a huge amount of that done in different Mii games. It's usually a fairly standard outfit, either for that whole game, or it's just a normal Mii attire. But it is quite fun, especially, you know, if you see your Mii character in a Mario outfit or a Peach outfit or something like that. It is a bit different. It's more reminiscent. It's kind of what they do on the 3DS, but a total outfit opposed to like a hat. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. And there's also obviously the, if you don't have four remotes already, there's the bundle which comes with the Wii Motion Plus. Or that is the actual version, as it were. It is in most countries, I think. Okay, I'll also move on now to another Wii U game. And this is a game for the eShop from Two Tribes. And the game is called Edge.
Ah, okay, yeah. No, I've heard some good things about, well, I've only had one other person who's picked this up.
Ah, you've picked up, have you?
No, I have not. I mean,
oh, well, yeah.
I know, but no, the only game I actually picked up my funds was because I was Earthbound this week when I was on the Virtual Console, finally. And that was because my roommate was a, you know, huge Earthbound fan. You know, he got the game whenever, when it first released, his first birthday. You know, he still had, well, he doesn't have the strategy guide with it anymore because he told me of a story that how he loaned it to his friend and has not seen it since then. So That's an advice for you kids out there. When you actually loan things like that, whatever, as a kid, whatever, there's a good possibility it's going to disappear. So, I mean, just to appease him one night, I bought the game for him, and he's been playing it nonstop right now. I've just been sitting there just watching him and just doing as much as I can, but it's, I don't know, but I digress. Back to it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I hadn't really heard much about Edge, but I saw it on the Wii U eShop, and it was half price, and the initial price anyway wasn't much. So I think I got this for about £2 over here. So this is like App Store prices on the iPhone. Really, really cheap. So I just kind of went with it because they're also the guys who made Tokitori and Tokitori 2, which I've played both of them now, and they're really cool games. So I gave them the benefit of the doubt and just downloaded it straight away, and I'm very pleased that I did because it's a very quirky puzzle game, and it has a very distinct retro feel. And I say retro because it is actually 3D, so it's kind of a mock retro feel. And essentially, you're rolling this cube around these stages. And so, because it's a cube and not a ball, it kind of clunks to each position. But there's also kind of this bit in between each click where you can get it to balance on its edge. I guess maybe that's part of where the name comes from. But you're rolling this cube around and essentially you need to get from start to finish. And there's some bits you can pick up on the way. But they do some really clever things with having you roll up certain areas or having buttons you roll onto which make other platforms appear or moving platforms. And it all sounds very simple because the mechanics themselves are very simple. But again, kind of like in Tokitori 2, they use some very simple mechanics to involve some quite complex puzzles. And so, yeah, I'm having fun with that so far. And it's also, as I said, very distinct. It has a very cool retro soundtrack. And the game just, it looks, well, it just looks quite bizarre. I mean, you wouldn't kind of lose this game in a massive screenshot. It really does kind of stand out. It's just kind of black backgrounds, a kind of flashing coloured cube on kind of these grey isometric puzzle layouts. And I haven't got to it yet, but apparently it also has some ties with the Portal franchise. So there's some sort of Portal themed levels later on. I'm not sure what they look like, but apparently they're in the Wii U version too.
This is getting kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah. So I think the companion cube's in there, or maybe you control it because you essentially control a cube. I'm not sure, but it is quite cool to know. It's a unique situation to be in.
No, I mean, I haven't heard as much about it right now. I'm not sure how that's.
So yeah, it's quite a simple game, but it's also very cheap, and it's retro and charming, and it has a lot of content in there. There's a lot of levels, and there's like bonus levels and other bits and bobs as well. It's also quite a cool game just to play on the gamepad if you don't have access to your TV. There's lots of stuff to do there, and at the price, I think I can recommend this to pretty much any Wii U owner, especially if it's still got the 50% discount on there. Okay, and we'll move on now to the Nintendo news. And our first item of news is another new Kickstarter. This is for the Festival of Magic, which is an RPG by Snow Castle, and one of its platforms it's going onto is the Wii U. And the goal is $250,000 is what they need to complete this project.
Boy, damn.
So it's a big one. It's only been up there for a couple of days, and it's already hit 32,000. So it's not a bad start. However, the game itself, it looks really good. A lot of these kind of Kickstarter projects, when they initially come up with their video, it's mostly concept artwork, or it's kind of these still renders. But they got this game kind of running, and it looks good already. It's running at a solid click. It's kind of this cel shaded look, and it seems, although it's an RPG, it's kind of got these more adventure-y platformer-esque bits when you're not in battle. And yeah, it's got some really cool character designs, and it looks like a very cool game.
This
And it looks
is,
quite far along as well.
yeah, with that goal going on with it right now, it seems like the production values for this are pretty high, obviously, but with this one, they will fully publish this. Yeah, we're getting another from, publish this to be in the Wii U, PC, Macs, Linux, and even on the Xbox One, PS4. This is just another good step for just having all these indie titles just coming here to the Wii U. This is a good platform to actually do this.
Yeah, it definitely shows Nintendo has changed a lot from the Wii days. I don't remember seeing any. Were there any Kickstarters for the Wii?
No, I believe Kickstarter didn't really get. St I mean, not started. That's a terrible pun.
It must have been around during the WiiWare days, even if it was the later era.
I don't think it, Kickstarter really didn't get hit its stride. I think right until around early 2011.
It didn't quite hit critical mass, as it were. Not till recently. That's fair enough. But yeah, there's been a whole bunch of different Kickstarter projects now which have gone either for the Wii U or the 3DS. I mean, more so for the Wii U. I'm not sure if that tells you anything behind the scenes, but it seems that like the Wii U is a good platform to start developing on. From all these releases we're seeing here. And a lot of them are successful, which is even better.
And you know what? And we, I mean, what was it? We have Shantae, and even we have
Mighty Number 9?
999 as well, which we won't be seeing until I think 2015.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that would be a 2014 release, but after seeing that, I'm like, so you're telling me I have to wait for this and the new Star Wars as well? So.
But yeah, I mean, you've also got things like Shovel Knight
Oh yeah,
that's coming out.
that is true. We got that.
There's already been at least one which has been released, and the naming's escaping me now. But there's that progressive generating platform game that was found on the Kickstarter, and that got launched onto the Wii U. So yeah, it's all good news. And moving on, we've had a new game release. So this is a spin-off in the Persona series. This is Persona Q: Shadow of the Labyrinth for the 3DS. And so I think this is take on Persona 3, if I.
I have to ask right now about this one now, and I know this has drawn some controversy, especially on NeoGAF and some other forums right now, but the fact that these characters in here are chibi versions.
Yes.
And I don't understand the hate.
Now, I think it's because people who are really into this series are more used to a kind of more traditional anime look for these characters, and it has. I'm not entirely sure how well the game handles it because I've not played the games themselves, but they have. It must have some sort of mature content in there because I know a lot of the game they transform by, I believe, shooting themselves in the head. So, and you see a little bit of
Oh
that from
God,
the chibi trailer. So it might just be how that's kind of handled very differently when there are more, human proportioned characters opposed to these obviously more chibi characters.
oh jeez, this is brutal.
It is, yeah. I remember that coming up quite a lot when that first was a thing. But yeah, if you watch that trailer again and keep an eye out for that, and you will see that happen. It's quite funny. I assume you've not played any of the Persona games either, then.
I know of them, but I have not. And given how
No.
this is Atlus right now, a company that I wish Nintendo would have actually put a stake in buying them, but Sega stepped in and actually did this, but that actually does not, fall far away from my slim to none chance of this ever happening, whatever, is this game trailer has posted this countdown how Nintendo can actually improve as far as the Wii U, and one of them was, what was it, like, one of the countdown was, like, one of the things that the Wii U can do to improve, or Nintendo can help out with the struggling Wii U and their profits, and I think it was, like, number 7 or 8 on the countdown was, buy Sega. And then they said, yeah, just simple as that, buy Sega. And then they move on to the next one, and I figured, like, I wouldn't mind that, but, you know, I digress with that. But, no, I've not played any of the Persona games, but it just, it's the fact that there's this, hate over these chibi versions of these, like, these characters.
But, yeah, there's, beyond the this 3DS version, they also had some other weird announcements, like, there's a, exclusive Persona dancing game for the Vita. They're just doing some very odd side games, in different styles. They also announced that another main Persona game coming to the PS3. So, a few seemingly odd choices. You would think maybe because it's a future game they would choose, if they were going in that direction, maybe the PS4 or the Xbox One or both of them, but it's going to be a PS3 exclusive, and I assume it will come out at least midpoint next year, if not later. Anyway, seeing as neither of us actually play Persona, I think we should move on to the next item. And it's actually the final item for our Nintendo news list for this week, because it's been a fairly slow week. Probably because Nintendo was generous enough to give us a brand new Zelda and a Mario game for the same week, so they probably didn't want to bother wasting their time announcing anything.
Jeez.
So yeah, this last item is, it was rumoured for a little while, however it is now confirmed, there's a Lego The Hobbit game coming for both Wii U and 3DS.
This is no longer rumour, this has actually been confirmed, correct?
It has been confirmed now, yes. I mean, it's probably something we could have assumed anyway. But it, you know, it has been, it's confirmed it is a thing.
That reminds me a little bit. You know, whatever happened to the Legend of Zelda Lego set that we were kind of, that was going through the review process from, like, Lego?
Was this a little while back, like 6 months ago or so? Or was it more recent?
The reason I bring this up was, today I was at my local mall and, you know, just kind of getting an idea for, like, Christmas shopping for, like, my siblings and the rest of my family members and my roommates. And my mall actually opened up a Lego store there. So, automatically, I went there, you know, to relive my favorite toy, aside from my video game consoles from my childhood. And, you know, I'm just sitting there just staring around, whatever, all these different, you know, rare, or these, you know, these different Lego sets that they usually don't sell in different toy stores. And I'm just checking out the usual ones, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and they had in these little sets that were, like, architecture sets. Like, actual Lego sets of actual, like, different buildings across, like, you know, the world, one being, like, the Space Needle, Willis Tower, Parliament, all these different things that they had, like, you know, sets they had there, and of course, a lot of these larger sets they had there were really, really expensive. Like,
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and the one bridge in London that I always confuse for London Bridge, whatever that the public does, Tower Bridge, I believe it's what they call it now, what it's called, that's mistaken for London Bridge. They had a set there, which is, you know, the one that they had, like, the most pieces on there. So I started talking to the clerk about that, whatever, about these different sets that were going through Lego, and they told me, like, oh, we had already sold out of, like, the Back to the Future DeLorean set, you know, that got approved. And I mentioned, talking about the Legend of Zelda set. He had mentioned about how, well, it's the review process, it's a matter of these rights, you know, when you have one person who's not agreeing with, like, the process, like, oh, I'm down for this, but if you have one person, it's just, from the property, whatever, it's not going to go through. And he mistakenly mentioned about how, you know, with video game companies, you have these three different, like, you know, publishers you see at the beginning of the games to actually do this, and I was like, yes, that's, you know, correct with different series, but with as Nintendo, it's just Nintendo. You have to go through the publisher and then the creators as well, like Shigeru Miyamoto and even Eiji Onuma, whatever, to get this, which I'm sure they'd be pleased to do that, but, you know, given Nintendo, I think that the, you know, even though they make enough money off the series through merchandising, through t-shirts, and even, like, the games themselves, it just, what harm probably wouldn't be able to do something like this? But, to finally end my Lego store trip, you know, I did, was, we had gotten into discussion about, Star Wars Lego sets, because I remember I saw this fairly large, like, you know, Star Wars Super Star Destroyer set, whatever, that was, like, worth $400.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I remember as a kid when the one Lego sets I wanted, they cost around $100, and my parents would be like, no, we're not doing that. And that was back when I was just the one thing I always asked a little kid for Christmas was just Legos and video games. And he had told me that, what was it, that they, at some other store or whatever, that he had built this Super Star Destroyer or whatever in the set, which, by the way, I asked him how long it took him to build. And he's like, oh, that set, it takes about like 7 to 8 hours to build. I'm like, okay. And they'd finished building it, and they were in this long hallway, and they just said, like, hey, let's see if this thing could fly. So he tosses the thing, he told me the story how he doesn't have video. Yeah, he tosses it. Tosses it down the hallway and just explodes into, like, hundreds of pieces. And he told me the guy who, once it crashed, he just covered his mouth with his hands, thinking, like, what did you do?
What did you expect was going to happen?
I know, and then it breaks, and he's like, it's Legos, you can just find the pieces and put it together. I mean, he had recorded it, but he won't put it up on YouTube because, you know, he doesn't want to get in trouble with the company, whatever, you know, being associated with that. But I know, I'm just thinking, like, how could you do that? But yeah, that's my Lego, that's my Lego store story to tell.
So yeah, I think the Zelda set got rejected initially, but I think another set has since started going through the same approval process. I'm not sure if its fate is going to be any different. But yeah, I can't imagine why Nintendo wouldn't want to do that. They obviously have nothing against Lego in general. Not only do they publish, they license a lot of Lego games, but they published and helped, at least they published Lego City Stories for the Wii U and the 3DS. So they actively had a part in building that relationship and getting those games out Nintendo exclusively. And it doesn't seem Nintendo have any sort of issue with merchandising for their products. They have, you know, tons of things for Pokemon and the Mario franchise. So, again, you don't see as much for Zelda, but the stuff's there. I mean, they have, like, officially licensed figurines, and obviously they had the Hyrule Historia.
Yeah, you have all these different properties, and you think, like, you know, what harm would it do for that?
Exactly. Again, so yeah, they've got a good relationship with Lego as well, and it seems that would be a cool fit. I could see that. I mean, it would actually be really cool to see Nintendo publish a Lego Nintendo game.
Don't get me started with the fantasies about this right now. I'm just like, if that is one announced, like, Lego Nintendo characters, whether it's just like a Smash Brothers style type of game, I would lose it.
Oh, I know what they can do. Because you know how they only do, like, one Mario Kart per system?
Mm-hmm.
So they can just do Lego Mario Kart.
Isn't that just going far? It's like, it's Mario Kart, but they're just Lego characters. Isn't that
exactly?
Just, it's just stretching it out so much.
It's just a complete reskin. It's the same game, but the next year after, they do the Lego version. And it's just all the tracks redone as Legos, and obviously the characters as well. I bet it would sell fantastically.
I am sending letters right now. I mean, anybody who's listening to this podcast, please send now, because this this is, aside from a Pokemon MMORPG, this would be genius.
Yeah, Lego Mario Kart, Lego Smash Bros.
Lego Metroid, you know.
That would be weird.
Yeah, that would be a little bit. I don't know. I mean, all the...
That's probably the series they would choose, knowing Nintendo. I mean, they would have all these, you know, perfect opportunities. They would probably go straight for the Lego Metroid.
The
camera really panned out. make no sense.
But back to the Lego Hobbit. I mean, what do we know before we conclude?
Well, to be fair, it's going to be probably quite similar to all the other Lego games.
I mean, I know the Lego games have kind of been oversaturated, but as a friend of mine at work who loves those games as well, I mean, the titles are generally like hardcore. I mean, he's a hardcore gamer, but he always goes to the Lego games. And I asked him, like, why do you like those so much? Like, I love those games because they're just like crack. Like, they're so addicting.
Does he play them cooperatively?
Yes, I think he does. He's now playing, I think, Lego Marvel Superheroes, the latest one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who, you know, really kind of enjoy these Lego games and keep going back, well, not going back to them, but picking up the new ones, is because it's just a kind of a nice co-op game. A local co-op game, and there's not so many of them nowadays. So it's good that, you know, there's Lego series around for this kind of just a fun local cooperative game where kind of it's good for all ranges. It's, you know, family friendly, as it were. And most of those games are quite humorous.
Oh yeah, they.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's going to conclude our Nintendo news section. Blast straight onto our final feature, which is the competition is here.
Bum bum bum.
So yeah, officially, both Sony's PlayStation 4 and Microsoft's Xbox One has now released, at least in America. And so yeah, so the current generation is here. So we can all shut up about all this next-gen talk, finally.
What are we suggesting the Wii U is not next-gen?
Well, no, I mean, I wrote a piece quite a while back now how the Wii U was current-gen, and only because at that time, 360 and PS3 were technically last-gen at that point, as soon as the Wii U, the next-gen, had arrived. But for everyone else to catch up, so we are now current-gen with the PS3, Xbox One, and Wii U. And so this is kind of going to be the situation we're going to stick around with for a while. So these kind of console cycles usually last between anywhere between, what, 5 and 10 years it is now?
Yeah, we've gone from the usual 4 to 5 years now, and, or no, 5 to 6 years, and now we are, you know, just like edging that out about like 3 more years or so. I mean, it's console generations are just kind of just spreading out a little bit more.
So yeah, I assume because you haven't mentioned it, I assume you haven't picked up either of these.
No, I was on the fence at one point. When Xbox One did release, I did contemplate about jumping online, but then I had realized, you know, the main reason why I buy Nintendo consoles at launch is just because, you know, it's, out of the three, it's my favorite company. You know, I mean, my memories, you know, is unbound for whatever, for any reason. Yet, one of these consoles I'm going to be picking up at one point. Maybe both. Who knows? And even just like with the Wii U, people need to realize, you know, the fact that, like, console launches are just, you know, you're essentially getting the box, but also the offerings that you get, you're maybe getting only one or maybe two good games out of the launch. And this is kind of prevalent right now with this.
Exactly, yeah. So on Sony's side, they're kind of exclusives, and it isn't necessarily an extensive list, but the highlights. They have Killzone Shadowfall and Knack. There's also this cool download game a lot of people have been talking about called Resogun. So the reason I put that on the list. On Microsoft's side of the Xbox One, they have Killer Instinct, Forza 5, Dead Rising 3, and Rise seem to be their kind of main exclusives.
Killer Instinct, well, which is free to play, I've been finding really odd that it's getting actually decent reviews so far. I mean, once I found out that it's limited roster and how you had to buy each of these different characters, I assume, like, okay, even though this is not be, this is, what was it, Double Helix was developing this, and unless, correct me if I'm wrong, and once I realized, you know, this was getting, like, all these options I had to go through, whatever, to get kind of a full package was, I was thinking, like, this is just going to be destined to fail, whatever. I mean, this is just not a really, really good way to update Killer Instinct, but through IGN, a couple other sites, it's actually been getting average but slightly decent reviews, but thing is, it's kind of a game that just does not have, yeah, it doesn't have an arcade mode, but yet it's deaf as far as, like, training and how to actually better, like, train yourself as far as to become a better player, and the game is actually so deep and probably one of the deepest, probably, as far as a fighter out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they also do sell a disc version of this, so I think you can take that option if you don't want to do the freemium and kind of, you know, buy what you need approach. So, yeah, if you just want the full game, I think you have that option. But just kind of looking through this list, there doesn't seem to be, like, a obvious system seller here.
The one I could probably, obviously, when you have some of these other titles out there, like, multi-platform, I mean, take, for instance, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag is on there. That's one of the few titles I've seen people who had picked up a PS4 have picked that up. And,
oh, yeah, but that's fair. I mean, I'm sure that game does run very nice on either of these consoles. But I think the argument fails when that game can also be played on PS3, on 360, also on Wii U. If it's across all these platforms, it can't be a system seller, surely.
No. I mean, it's only going by the name alone there. I mean, it's what console launches are going to be doing like that. But, you know, even with the price there, I mean, what was it? PS4 sold around, like, what was it? It was already released in multiple territories, and it already sold, like, around...
I think they both officially reported...
It was 2 territories, I believe, and it only sold 1 million worldwide, and Xbox One had already sold 1 million through multiple territories.
Yeah.
And I believe that's already about to surpass lifetime sales in the UK, the Xbox One, which, that kind of hurts.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the official numbers behind that one, but yeah, that is an interesting story, to say the least.
Now, between both of these, when we look at this right now, I mean, which one do you think, really does pose the biggest threat for Nintendo trying to actually gain momentum with the Wii U?
It is a tricky one. I mean, because both of these boxes are so similar, I'm going to have to just go with the PS4 just because it's $100 cheaper. It's nearer to that Wii U price. If the PS4 was the same price as the Xbox One, then there's this very big gap which distinguishes, Wii U as kind of the cheap and cheerful console for this generation, kind of similar way the Wii was. But yeah, because PS4 is kind of edging towards that Wii U price, I would say that's the biggest competition for Sony
It is,
for these.
and what Nintendo's trying their best to do this. I mean, obviously with the price drop that they did, and just phasing out the basic model, like the basic Wii U SKUs, is that they're like these bundles. I mean, you've had the Wind Waker bundle, and you have the new Super Mario Brothers and new Super Luigi U bundles as well out there. Yet, I mean, in future, I mean, we're gonna probably expect a Mario Kart 8 bundle in the near future too. I mean, that seems pretty much destined out there, and. And one thing I've heard from even like sites, be it like Engadget, Wired, IGN, even GameSpotter, New York Times even had this like item or whatever saying like the best game to play probably this November was Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, it's good to see that we are getting these stories, but I'm not sure it's going to be. Well, the real test is going to be next year when we actually see the fiscal figures. How much of a difference that made, the fact that Nintendo technically had the best game out. What difference did that make in terms of console sales?
Yeah, and
Are people actually going to gravitate towards the Wii because it has this awesome game? Or are they going to just be picking up the new shiny boxes?
because right now, I mean, Wii U is obviously just cleaning as far as third-party support. When you think about it, I mean, is their major player, whatever, on them is Ubisoft. I mean, that's what they're kind of clinging onto at the moment. And obviously, whatever this news that it came out just a few days ago, like about a couple days ago, was, Reggie Fils-Aimé just mentioned how they have big plans, whatever, as far as marketing for the first half of 2014, or no, the first quarter of 2014. Even they went by saying, admitting finally, I guess, was that yes, we had a software drop from like that early 2013, but they promised that they're going to actually, show a little bit more, like more as far as games coming out. I mean, one of the bigger ones I think on the horizon, obviously, is Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze in February.
Yeah, definitely. I also think what they really need to do is just kind of push the system more in terms of marketing. They really need just to get the message out that the Wii U is actually a thing.
What do you think of those pitch commercials that Nintendo has been putting out, though?
I think they're good for the audience they're targeting. I'm just kind of hoping that they have other marketing campaigns or TV adverts for the higher age audiences. It is definitely a good group to focus on for the Christmas period, but I don't want to see Nintendo just kind of pigeonholing themselves purely to targeting to young kids, as it were.
And that was kind of obvious with that 3DS advert that we did post on the site. It was, and I think this has the makings of a good slogan for what they could have. Why do I play Wii U? Why do I play 3DS? And that end tagline, because it's Nintendo. I really feel like that could just stretch out far, but also as far as the consequences, I think this could be very big meme worthy as far as a antithesis of it, whatever. It's like you could say like, why do I play a console with no DVD player or Blu-ray player? Because it's Nintendo. Why do I only buy a console with only first-party titles and no third-party exclusive? Because it's Nintendo. I mean, I could go the list on and on.
Yeah, but in the same respect, I do think that is a good slogan, just because they can also kind of use it for both the 3DS and the Wii U, so the Wii U can kind of piggyback on the 3DS's marketing, just because they're both obviously associated for Nintendo. But if they both had that similar, because it's Nintendo at the end of either of their advertisings, they essentially kind of get double bang for their buck, as it were. And hopefully the Wii U can kind of ride on the tailcoats of the 3DS's success. So when a huge 3DS game comes out and is advertised on TV and it has because it's Nintendo slogan at the end, then when the Wii U one comes up at some point in the future, people should kind of associate them more. I know it's obvious for us to do that naturally because obviously they're both Nintendo systems, and we would do the same if it was like a Vita commercial and a PS4 one. But I don't think that the general public necessarily join these things together, and because of how big the 3DSs are. Well, I mean, obviously quite literally, but how big the 3DS audience has grown. If they can capture a large portion of audience to go out and buy Wii Us, that's a good strategy in itself.
It is, and like we said, Nintendo's marketing has not been that good for the last couple years. I mean, they have only sold just in word of mouth. I mean, based on like when it came to the Wii, like last generation, and that, and you have their hardcore following that's always going to be buying their products. But with this one right now, it just, you have, again, like, the makings of something that could be so good that they actually, you know, kind of just revive this console to get into people's, like, homes. And, you know, this is me just seeing with Nintendo is, like, the way that they have these two different consoles are becoming more, you know, this all-in-one entertainment system. Yet Nintendo is just kind of still focusing on that whole aspect of just, it plays games. You know, and that's one thing that kind of care about. But yet, in the end, I'm going to be probably buying one of these other two next-gen consoles that just released. But again, it's just a matter of, like, seeing how things go and what actually comes down to it. Like Hiroshi Yamauchi said, the late Hiroshi Yamauchi said, was, it's all about software. That's really what it comes down to.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I probably would have picked up a PS4, well, will pick up a PS4 if it had backwards compatibility. As simple as that. But because my PS3 is in, you know, perfect working order, and there's still good PS3 games to play, and most of the good PS4 games can also be played on the PS3, I really don't have much incentive to go out and put down a large amount of cash to get this now. So where I am is I'm just going to wait it out. There's lots of cool Wii U games coming, and just see which one, you know, which one does better, because the one with the most support is going to kind of reap the benefits down the road with exclusive games and that sort of thing. And yeah, I'm very happy with Nintendo's 2014 lineup so far. So my plan is to pick my side in terms of the competition the end of next year. But we'll see how that goes.
You said picking side, which brought me to the point. I mean, have you been following South Park at all? Like their episodes that they did on
I've not seen the new console war ones.
Yeah, the Black Friday episodes, and it's I just recently, right before the recording, watched the second parter, and if you actually notice on there, even for the first part, the first episode is, you know, one of the Kenny in there is dressed up like a princess as well, and if you notice the design of his costume, it's actually modeled after Princess Zelda.
Yeah, no, I did see that little screen of Kenny as Zelda, but that's quite cute.
I know, and I'm waiting at the third part, whatever, thinking this is the punchline. I'm just hoping at the end that there's just going to be a Wii U surprise or jab or something. It just comes in of nowhere where, like, this third side to this, you know, this war between these kids, like, you know, the kids in the South Park just trying to battle out for getting either an Xbox One or a 360 or an Xbox One or a PS4. I'm just, like, hoping, whatever, that there's some jab in there.
Yeah, even if it's just, like, a one or two line bit at the very end of that last episode. Just, and that being the joke, that's the time the Wii U gets.
That's my prediction. They're all just going to end up with Wii U's at the end.
Yeah, well, like, Kenny's about to make his pitch about it in the credits roll. But yeah, I mean, it looks like both consoles are off to a good start so far. However, if we rewind a year ago, the Wii U actually had a decent launch. It sold out of its initial units, but within the first fiscal year, but before the end of the first fiscal year, so within the first couple of months, it managed to sell just over 3 million units, I believe, worldwide. That was a decent launch. It was just after that point where sales dropped off a cliff right after Christmas, essentially. So how well do we think PS4 and Xbox One are going to do in this kind of, after a couple months' time, where the hype's really kind of gone down and it's just regular sales, how well do we think PS4 and Xbox One are going to do compared against, and I think it's an important bit here, the previous generation, the 360 and the PS3 and the Wii U as a separate thing?
Well, obviously, probably with this holiday season up, I think they will sell well, but as far as which one I think is going to drop off the most, I really do think Xbox One might be dropping off, just based on that price alone. And really, as far as another title, I think, on the horizon that actually could help bolster that, whatever, which won't be coming out until March, is, you know, Titanfall. And that's one, actually, that's kind of been leaning me more towards getting an Xbox One, even though after they had backpedaled on, you know, all the DRM rentals and, you know, always online, but I think that, based on price alone, I think that's the one that's going to drop off.
Yeah, I'd agree, but doesn't even Titanfall have a 360 release, as well as a PC version?
Yes, that is correct.
So, you know, I'm sure the Xbox One version, there's has a lot better graphics, and I'm sure it has some other cool online features and so on. But if I had a 360, that game wouldn't push me to get that console if I could buy it on the one I've already got.
Hmm.
So I'm just thinking, as a kind of a more a normal user, which is a bit hard for me to kind of get my head around, kind of currently doing a podcast about Nintendo, what is actually going to persuade them to buy a new console? Because this is a serious amount of money we're talking about, if you're not, hugely invested in games. So it's going to be some sort of really killer app. And all the really, really big brands seem to have kind of unannounced dates yet. So there's a new kind of Halo game which has had a teaser trailer. There's been a real teaser trailer for a new Uncharted on Sony's side. And so I could be wrong here, but I think it could be a similar situation the Wii U was in. I reckon it will be a better situation, but I think after these first couple of months, the sales are going to drop a lot. And I do think the PS3 and the 360 will probably be outselling the one and the PS4. Probably in healthier margins to what happened with the Wii and the Wii U. But I think it's not going to be a too far off situation until they get their big guns out, which will probably be this sort of time next year. So I think Nintendo has a real opportunity here to kind of capture the market. Hopefully they've already got some games under development which they haven't shown us yet, which are, nearing the end of development, which they will be launching in 2014. If they can get games like X out, for example, within that year and really kind of draw the attention of people who own a 360 or PS3 who haven't yet gone to this generation, I think the Wii then might have a chance of kind of attracting that crowd. Time is going to tell on that one. It's going to be a really interesting one to watch. And obviously, more competition, the better in this industry,
And
as we
that
can see. Nintendo do some of their best things when they kind of got their back against the wall as well.
it is, and I'm the one actually that if I had to give a prediction as far as as far as the Wii U's life cycle as a console is, it's a console that it survived, it was quirky, and it had some really solid first party in the titles and some certain exclusives, but yet third party support was crap.
See, that's going to be the tricky thing for Nintendo. Because although I said just then that I don't think the Xbox One and PS4 are going to sell fantastically going into next year, after the initial holiday season, that is where the third parties are going to gravitate to still. I think what's going to be the real issue is I think they're also going to be sticking to the current, the previous generation. Okay, this is going to be a bit confusing with PS3 and 360. So I reckon most games launched by people like EA and the Ubisofts, even future games going into like the far end of 2014, they're still going to be hitting the PS3 and the 360. And I think some of their own biggest competition is going to be themselves in that side. Nintendo is just kind of doing their own thing, to be fair, and they always have done. They draw it, and they are deliberately looking for a different kind of audience in addition to having the same kind. So the Wii U's doing that weird mix. But they also are going after this distinctly their own audience. However, it seems PS4, Xbox One, PS3, 360 are all fighting over the same people with the same games, just with different boxes.
Yeah, and it's a matter of coming down to whatever, it's price as well.
Exactly, yeah. Pricing's going to be a huge part of this, and I think, and I'm sure I'm not going to be the first one to predict this, I'm sure it's been said long ago that Microsoft is going to have their hand forced to sell it without the Kinect for $100 cheaper. Just so they can match the Sony's pricing.
And you know, be
Because you.
yeah, and I've had
Oh,
and I,
sorry.
oh, and I've had friends who say like, oh, I'm just gonna wait till it drops in price, whatever, in a couple months. Like, that usually rarely happens when unless a console's not selling well. Take the Wii U stance and even the 3DS. I wouldn't really hold your breath.
Yeah, but you might get this kind of separate SKU situation with Microsoft.
That is true.
If you don't care for the Kinect, and they do a couple months down the line because there's a big price difference, or sorry, a big sales difference between the PS4 and it, I think they would start selling Kinect separately for $100, and then you've got a $400 Xbox One.
It's gonna be interesting how this plays out in 2014. It's we're beginning a new, air quotes here, console war.
Yeah, well, we've been in this war for a while now, even though it's kind of only just begun. There's been a lot of build up to this one, but yeah, with I mean, just personally as a Nintendo fan, with games like Smash Bros., Mario Kart. The sequel to Xenoblade, all pretty much confirmed. I mean, technically X isn't confirmed, but it's a very likely release. I'm very happy about Nintendo's lineup in terms of kind of some of those key franchises. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more Nintendo apparently is very confident that there's going to be a much more steady release of games this time around. So they've obviously got a lot of announcements to make shortly, just to fill up this kind of that those first two quarters. But Reggie's still sticking by that statement in, I think, an interview a week or so ago. He's still saying that there's going to be a solid line of releases all the way from the beginning of the year. And so, yeah, I'm confident with Nintendo, but it would be silly to underestimate the competition here.
Exactly.
And I unless you've got anything final to say, I think that's a nice wrap-up for the competition is here.
Buy Mario 3D World. I believe that's a system seller.
Exactly. And yeah, there are many sites which are saying that that is the best game to buy this holiday, despite most people not actually owning the console. But I cannot wait to play that game. That looks so fun.
And it's been getting praise, especially, I think, what was it, even from a former, what was it, Cliff Bleszinski, he just finished it, and I just read on his Twitter feed that he really does believe this is the type of a game that the Wii U needs to sell consoles.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, and this is going to sound odd, but at this point, I really don't care if it's a game which is going to sell Wii U consoles or not. I just want to play that game. It just looks so fun. Just real down to the basics. That looks like an incredible game to play. So much so that it doesn't bother me how well it helps the Wii U or doesn't. I'm just glad to see Nintendo making games like that. But yeah, for the last week or so, I've had that kind of stupid, awesome music from 3D World trailers been stuck in my head. I think it's like one of the boss battle music or something like that. It's one of that weird kind of jazzy number when they did that re-announcement of the game. It's last week of work. It's just been stuck in my head, and I haven't been able to get rid of it. So I'm hoping playing the game is the cure for that, and not just kind of creating more crazy music tracks. But yeah, no, it will be nice to talk about that game in next episode, assuming, nothing comes in my way between, me and 3D World.
Yeah, the mailman just decides, like, you're not getting it.
Yeah, I might just cancel that and pick it up. We'll see. But then again, I've still got Zelda to play. Lots of good Nintendo games.
Oh, and anybody with more Nintendo games knows, hey, it's fine with me.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're going to wrap up the show now. Of course, as always, if you have any questions you would like to send us, you can email them to us at contact@infendo.com. If you're listening to the show on your browser, you can scroll down to the comment section and you can also type a question in there. And we shall get them, hopefully, in time for the next episode.
Yes, and we appreciate questions on the show. More messaging on there
Exactly.
is we'd like to know what you like about the show and not, and just any random questions you like. I mean, even ask me why I engage in that story, whatever, that Lego store employee, just about the Zelda, the possible Zelda set. Anything you want.
And also to echo Harrison there, if you do listen to the show and you've never emailed in before, please do. I mean, apparently we do get a fair few listeners, but unfortunately we don't get a huge amount of emails. So it'll be really, it'll just be lovely to hear from you guys. So if you haven't emailed in before, please make this kind of your chance to, or your time to email in this for the first time and just let us know who you are and what you like or don't like about the show, how we can improve. And obviously, again, if you've got any questions, fire them away and we can talk about them in the next episode. Before we leave, I think we haven't done this in a while. If we give out our Twitter and Miiverse handles, for myself, it's the same for both, which is Luvsion, which is spelled Leuvsion. And so that's for both Twitter and for Miiverse on the Wii U.
And for me, it's my Twitter handle is HMilfeld, HMILFELD as in dog, and my Miiverse handle is Hybrid Meta, HYBRIDMETA. So find me on there. I just recently posted my first meet had my first Miiverse post in quite some time, and even the guys from the Nintendo show asked me, it's like, oh, nice to see you finally showed up. I'm like, yeah, I know, I've been neglecting this console more again.
But yeah, I think that's going to be all for tonight's show. So yeah, this has been myself, Lewis Pugh, and Harrison Milfeld, and hope you've enjoyed this episode of Nintendo Radio.
Later, everybody.
See you next time.